let's start with some dumb
Bantar. I barely know her.
I was gonna be like, oh yeah, I love Bantara.
Nice, no. Nice. That's good. Wait, can we think of one more band?
That's Bantara. I thought. Do you know who I thought of? Was maybe she wasn't even famous in the States, but Pantera? No, Pantera.
Pantera.
Nope. Pantera.
Wait, that's
I
what
Anne made that joke.
Anne just said that.
Don't tell my own joke to me. Like, I don't know what I said. Hello, do I exist?
Wait, I thought you said Bantara.
That was the joke, Ellie.
Bantara.
Oh no, I've gotten.
I had already gotten to the punchline. And if you fucking respected that.
The thing is, I never want to trust that I get a joke. So I was like, they must talk about a different band and not Pantera, like the artist that I know, because there would be no way in the universe that I would get a joke on the first try. But I did. And then I ruined it by saying the exact same joke.
Pantera well, rocks. I like Pantera.
Chris met her.
Wait, hold on.
I think we have
We are talking about different Pantera. Okay. In the US is like a band. It's like a metal rock band. Who's
oh, yeah,
who
we're
are
talking
you
about completely
who are you thinking of?
I'm talking about this disco girl, like this maybe her
what's her name?
I'm trying to find out the name now. Maybe Pantera.
I'm like, dying.
Vulgar display of power is another. Wait, no, this is not.
No, that's to pant or to pander.
I need to ask Chris who this woman is. Do you?
I bet the name is close. I'm sure you're not like off. I'm sure it's like Pantera.
The thing that's so great is that we had all accepted it, and then you continued to speak, and then Sydney and I were like, "Wait a second,
hold on.
There's still a problem."
Chris met a woman at a bar and was like, "You're the band Pantera? All of you or just you? Wow, you're the band?"
I've done some research.
And?
I've done some research. Apparently, yeah. It's called Pandora.
Oh.
Well, that doesn't even sound like banter.
Known by her stage name Pandora, United DJs is a Swedish Eurodance singer.
Cool.
So no one.
So no, exactly oh no God. One. That makes sense then that Chris met her. And
canceled. Anne Richmond hates Europe.
I'm like, yeah, fuck. You're God. Right. When you're right.
The best banter we've ever done.
Yeah, honestly, Pandora. We opened this one up strong with just knowledge. We're all so smart.
Or lack thereof.
No, man. We're so smart.
But
no.
Welcome to the Lost Mountain Saga.
What's up?
Part two, other sagas.
The other sagas. That's true. This season is called The Other Sagas. Have I said that already to you?
I don't know.
To any?
No.
Nope. Well, that's the official name. That's pretty cool, right?
I
the
like
Other
that.
Sagas. That taps into the whole Norwegian thing I have going for you. That I have 100% figured out already and know how to end.
It sounded like you were like that whole Norway thing that I created, the land of Norway, and I've brought it here to you, filthy American ladies.
That's a joke in Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. There's like, they create the world, Earth, and then this one guy who's just like, well, I made the fjords. You know, I'm really happy with them, of Norway. Like, and I thought that was fun, but also well done. The fjords of Norway, pretty darn beautiful. I want to go back though to this intense mission with these beautiful women. And when I say beautiful, I don't mean their looks. I mean beautiful creations.
Excuse me, madam.
Exactly, it's perfect.
I will have decorum. I was fine in my younger years, and I am stately now.
I love the fact that we have Dowager. No, wait, so what's her name? Count. What's her name in Downton Abbey?
Dowager Violet. The Dowager Countess Violet something.
Something.
Downton Lady.
Downton Abbey.
But no, I'm Mary Smythe.
Mary Smythe, the actress.
Famous entertainer.
Famous thespian. Of the royal
something.
Yeah, not to be confused with the unfamous thespian.
All
Mary.
Thespian lesbians. Oh, I love sapphic poetry.
Have you So have you ever been to London? And, oh, of course you have. But have you ever been to Royal?
Quite.
Have you ever been to the theater there? Like the, check it out there.
Yes, I have indeed. I've been to the Royal Shakespeare Theater, and I've been to Stratford-upon-Avon.
Oh, same.
And, whoa. Yeah, I did a lot of looking up about like cool theater folklore in England before this and got super excited.
Nice.
But now we're in the Faroe Islands. Yes.
So
we're not that
completely useless information for this adventure. But I went to a standing theater, royal, like at the what's the name of the theater?
The Globe,
yeah.
You were a groundling.
I was a groundling, but I hated it It was 3 hours of standing. And for anyone who knows me, my patience is already at like maximum focusing for 2 minutes. For me to be able to do this for an hour is
wait, is the whole thing about the theater that you have to stand for the show?
No.
Okay.
But it's
No. So back in Elizabethan England, they would have room in the back of the Globe Theatre for the ladies and the gentlemen, the gentry, if you will, to sit. Even Her Majesty the Queen at times. But the interesting thing about entertainment and theatre of the time is that the common people also were to be able to enjoy it, but they had to stand, and we called them groundlings. So, in any ways, today, you can go to the Globe and you can get the groundling experience by paying a little bit less for one of the tickets where you stand in the renovated or recreated Globe Theater, because I think the original burned down a while back. But they've basically redone the entire thing the way that it would have been then. And part of that is you can stand to see shows if you want in the center.
Yeah.
That sucks.
And that's why in every...
I know.
Let's be honest. It's like, it's such a cool experience. Yeah, but like, I remember being a kid and being like, yeah, I'm a groundling. And by the end, I was like, fuck this.
I get bored sitting. I'm like, my butt hurts. I don't want to stand for 3 hours.
No, exactly.
Well, that's why there's always like about halfway through a Shakespeare show, some idiot comes out and is like, oh, hear that damn bell again. Knock, knock, I suppose. And just like comes out and does a lot of, oh, no, I fell over type humor.
Oh, my God.
Because the like groundlings or the lower classes would be like, oh, thank God, something hilarious that I can care about and understand is happening.
Oh, yeah. Well, for me, it was just like, I mean, I hate to be say this as an act, as a wannabe actor, but I get very easily bored by theater as it is.
But I hate it. Yeah,
and I moved to New York to watch it. No, but like, honestly, a lot of plays suck, like really badly. Like it's not an entertainment that's very forgiving. The one thing worse is dancing, in my opinion. Oh God, I'm
wow, Ellie. So
first she came
for all the European countries.
For all the European countries.
Now the
but
arts.
That wasn't enough. Beware the arts community.
But like honestly, you're next. No, it's a lot of it is great. A lot of it is great, but it's just so poorly funded, at least in New York City, so you end up in like a theater that's also shared as the heroin addict's lair, you know? And
well, it's so expensive. Yeah. And so any of our friends who are in theater in like creative pursuits here in the city, if they want to put on any of their new work, it is always just in Satan's asshole that you have to go see these. Like, I went to a black box that is literally the size of my office, and I have no idea like how much they paid to do that show there.
I know.
I remember just being like, this is a waste of your money and my time.
Yeah, I used to be a theater producer. That sounds a lot cooler than it is. But I think 2 days, $4,000 to have like a tiny little shoebox to perform, you know, the vagina monologues that no one else would be like. It's like that old, I mean, Friends does a really good joke on it. You know, like chapter one, my first period, you know, that's what a lot of these plays feels like. And it's very intimate. So you're like, you and two other people are in this theater watching this one person monologue.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of the like whole classist thing, like relating to the Globe as far as the audiences here in New York City, the crazy thing is like when you go to theater school at NYU, like you get to produce, if you're in the directing track, like at least twice a year a show.
Yeah.
And you don't realize what a privilege that is until you have to actually fund shows outside of school where you're not being given the space, which is by and large the most expensive part of any of it.
Yeah.
And so the idea that then these directors graduate from theater school but then cannot afford to move forward in their careers,
yeah,
unless you get like an agent or you know work on enough other shows to like build up capital to then fund your own work, like it really puts the hands again in people who had money to begin with or can afford to take out another loan, you know, if they didn't have to take out one for school. And it just, eat the rich, motherfuckers. That's what I'm saying.
Yep. Good.
Even in the art world, like, success is based a lot on who started with money and not who has good ideas.
Yeah, very true.
Well, I want to bring it back to the Faroe Islands, where theater has not been created for a long time. Or maybe, I don't know, I saw a great performance actually that was from the Faroe Islands, so I'll take that statement back immediately. But maybe in the 19th century in Tórshavn, do you guys actually want to know what that means?
Sure,
I'm pretty sure that means,
yeah,
Thor, like the god Thor,
yeah,
his harbor, Thor's harbor.
Hell yeah.
Huh.
It could also mean something completely different, but based on my Swedish knowledge, that's what it would mean in Swedish, so I think that's pretty cool. Anyway, you're in that town, 2,000 people. What do you want to do? Actually, what do you want to do? Last time we left off was a pretty cool cliffhanger from our resident performer. You said,
I do believe we are to find out who she is.
Mm,
oh, indeed. Right.
And by she, you're referring to whatever this person is in the diary.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing you find though in the room. And like I said, the diary has a couple of rules in terms of, mm-hmm, how many clues per day you can find, basically. But you can study. I mean, you can spend the rest of your day to study it meticulously.
Maybe one of us should do that, and one of us should catch up with the police officer to find out what else we can find out. About what's going on.
Splitting the team?
Splitting the party after a TPK not so long ago? No, I don't.
Great idea, Anne.
I don't think that's a bad idea. I think if we're picking up where we left off, I think Vanessa would like ask to study the book a bit more and maybe suggest, mm-hmm, to Mary, I would like to take a walk through the town if you would like to come with me. Usually it is good to clear the head after a long journey, and also I would like to eat something. I am quite famished.
You know, there is no reason why we shouldn't sample local delicacies. I've heard there's to be excellent herring here.
Ooh.
And if you are right with your idea that this book contains multitudes of handwritings, perhaps it would benefit us to meet the local people.
Quite. They all do seem to be writing about much the same thing. These drawings and the margins, the eyes. Their gaze holds me. That's it.
And Vanessa closes the diary and says, I'm going to hold on to this.
She says, yes, I do believe we've worked together out of Rose House before for the society. What is it you do, Miss Vanessa?
Oh, I thought that sister.
Vanessa.
Yeah, I thought it was quite apparent by my nun outfit. she doesn't say that. She's very polite. She says, I am a sister of the faith. I volunteer with the local clergymen in London who let me stay in the attic of the church. And I offer help and give assistance when needed and where I can. I use my gifts to help the people.
That is so very lovely. I must say, I have never had the occasion to work so closely with one so close to God. Not that I work with people on the other side of the spectrum at all, but I cannot say I've ever worked so closely with a holy person, is there anything I must do to provide a proper sense of respect and clarity and focus for whatever it is all this does? She says, sort of like motioning to the habit and the whole just sense of you.
Vanessa smiles and she says, no, there is nothing, but just know there is also no judgment for who you are or what you do. I welcome so many people into my life and would help anyone that I can. The fact that I am perhaps closer to God than you means nothing in the grand scheme of things. We are on the same faith mission, if you know what I mean.
Truly. Well, I suppose I also meant, I mean, not that your rank in the clergy defines you, but what skills, aside from the knowledge that someone who has studied in the ways that you have, what skills are your claim to fame at Rose House?
That is an interesting question. I was recruited, so you could say, by a very dear friend of mine, Charles. Perhaps you know him from Rose House. But he saw me in London take care of an unknown. There was a man who was scared in an alleyway, being tortured by something, and I helped him. I didn't even know what I was really doing at the time, but I prayed and I used my holy water, and suddenly I was taken to Rose House by Charles. He explained that my gift was a gift shared by others in the society, and opened my eyes to more than I thought I saw.
It is said that when we find ourselves at our lowest point, that it only takes the right person to extend a hand to make everything all right again, or at least begin to move in that direction. I hope only that when we find Miss Mary, that we are able to offer a similar hand to her. For if she is one of the people scribbling in this book, as the letter she sent to Mr. Professor Rutger suggests, she could be in the grips of something ancient and magnificently cruel.
And speaking of Rutger, you hear commotion further down the street as you're taking a walk. That's a preposterous idea. I will hear none of it, you hear Rutger say, as he leaves the police station, and he walks out, huffing and puffing, walking really, really fast, and after him hurries the police officer, Sergeant Pearson.
No, listen, Willoughby, listen. Listen, I don't think you should go right now. It's getting late. You can go tomorrow, first thing in the morning. My assistant might be up there right now, and I should leave her there to spend the night alone?
And he then sees the two of you.
I will talk to you later, and he walks over to you.
What seems to be the commotion?
Apparently she was sighted by the Stone Circle just a couple of hours ago, and no one has told me. They've all neglected to tell me.
A couple of hours ago?
Yes, a couple of hours ago, a townsperson apparently saw her.
Sergeant Pearson, why should we not go to find her immediately? Why has no search party been sent?
Pearson immediately gets nervous again in the presence of Mary, but he says,
perhaps we could talk about this somewhere else.
Yes, please. We're laying tea. And she sort of ushers them into the inn.
Right. In there, Vlada, not O'Rourke, has already prepared a wonderful as it can be in this, this short of notice. Wait, they didn't have short notice. as very well prepared, actually, tea, but perhaps still a little small townish for what you are used to from the finer tea houses in London. But it's still very, very clean, very nice, and it's served for you. Some fika as well. And
I've missed the fika. More fika.
Fika.
It's very lovely. And so you know, there's a open fire as well. It's cold. It's outside, so it's very welcoming and nice, even though the rest of the town seems to be a little down and scared. Rutger immediately goes and picks up a cinnamon bun and stuffs it in his face without while still talking, being upset about the whole situation.
Take a deep breath. Good Lord. Now, listen, Professor, I know you are concerned about Mary, but are there not rumors of witches and creatures in the hills? Do you not think they are perhaps worried for your own safety, for our safety as well, should we go gallivanting unprepared into the dark beyond?
Listen to me. Were something to happen to her, I shall never be able to forgive myself. I promised her father that I would bring her back. We need to find her, please.
Help.
Professor, perhaps something has already happened to her, and we need to use caution. If Mary has gone missing, perhaps she is changed, and perhaps...
Then I'll do it myself!
Professor, we want to help. Why did we come here if not to work together?
Alright, roll a manipulation.
I love playing this empathetic character because she's got so much empathy. The priests are a great class archetype because that's all they are. They're like super, super empathetic. Okay, let's see.
I am fearing that we may have several of the same skills once again. Well,
Oops.
Luckily for you, you have Lada. Maybe.
That is, you said manipulation or just empathy?
You can actually do empathy, I guess, because you're not trying to manipulate him. You're trying to just tell him.
Yeah, okay. That's one success.
You don't know if it's the cinnamon bun or if it's the calming words of his sister, but he seems to resign into tears instead of anger and quiets down and just starts looking at the fire.
Yeah. We must all be very careful, for if we go wandering off into the night unprepared, well, if we find Mary in some sort of state, we aren't to know how to help her. We must properly prepare ourselves before we go gallivanting into the night. Now, we have managed to find something of Dear Mary's, with contributions from several other correspondents, participants. Perhaps we should show them the book.
Sergeant Pearson, Mary and I think that perhaps there are multiple people who may have to do with the disappearance of Mary. I wanted to ask you if there was anyone else who has gone missing for long periods of time or who has recently changed, perhaps in personality, hobbies, anything like this.
Unfortunately, we have several people missing in these past couple of weeks. People are coming up with the most outlandish ideas and theories to why they are gone. They're talking about witches and whenever those types of rumors, when they take hold, it's too late. It's like a virus. It multiplies and it never really leaves. It's in the system forever. And so I've been trying to really, really stifle those rumors because we can't have that here. It would ruin our economy. But alas, I think I can't deny it anymore that something is going wrong. Something is happening in the woods, and I seem to be unable to protect my town.
Well, I believe it was Shakespeare who taught the common rabble about witches so long ago. And the trouble with them is that they are commonly serving something greater. For the witches of Macbeth, it was Hecate. But for these folk, it may be something else. What kind of clues do you have as to what might be drawing these folk together?
I do not know what it could be at all. I just know that people are missing, and whenever that stone circle was uncovered by these archaeologists, who, by the way, are also missing, but no one seems to remember them.
They don't remember them.
That no one seems to care is what I'm saying. We haven't had people from London being sent to gather the archaeologists, and they disappeared almost a month ago.
Well, I don't want to alarm anyone, but I do believe that human sacrifice could be on the menu. Not for tea, of course. Any more, Sergeant?
Oh, and he chokes on the bun he's currently eating.
Human sacrifice.
Well, people are missing, and either they've gone mad and run into the hills, or their life forces have been drained for some dark purpose.
Sergeant Pearson, we do not mean to cause fear. It is not our intention to stir up the town. In fact, that would probably be very dangerous. But what are the superstitions your people hold? It could feed off of fears, and perhaps there is a common denominator of your people.
He thinks about it for a second, but Vlada comes in before he gets a chance to speak, trying to signal that something is going on. She's pointing towards the door and then towards the kitchen. And then she nods her head and says, and tries to say, O'Rourke.
What is happening? What is wrong with O'Rourke?
How about you roll observation to see if you can deduce what the hell is going on?
What's all this then? What's all this racket?
What the hell is going on here?
All right, that's two successes.
You understand after a while, after having this sort of voiceless but expressionful, very, very full of expression mm-hmm. conversation with Vlada, that she's trying to communicate that O'Rourke went out, and for some reason that's alarming Vlada.
Does she not often leave this time of day?
No, and then you realize that the town seemed to be under some sort of curfew, like an unspoken curfew, so it's strange that anyone would leave.
Okay. Vlada, is O'Rourke missing?
She points towards the door as if she's suspicious of her.
Do I recall any special, like, I guess, do I have any insight or observation into when we were speaking with O'Rourke about Mary earlier? Did she have some sort of connection to Mary that I could view in her facial expressions at the time?
Both of you, how about you roll observation? Or okay. Sense, like, the sense motive of it? Like a retroactive sense motive?
Have two successes!
I had none. Oh, wait, hold on. I had none.
Talking of Mary von Meiken, the missing assistant, the only thing that you could have possibly maybe have suspicions of would be that jealousy.
Okay. She is going to grab the book and open it and begin flipping through pages and say, "Is your mistress's handwriting here? Do you see it in this book?"
Vlada looks at the book and it's like, it's just trying to look, it's like, no. And then she continues to point towards the door. Like, and then she walks over to the door. Yeah. Picks up a shovel and it's like, yes.
What?
I believe our hound has scented blood. She's on the case.
Okay.
We should go after her. She knows more than she said. I can only do so many of these lines now. Up, up, everyone, tea down, feet moving.
Vlada is like, stone. She picks up the stone, like stones from the ground. It's just, they're stone.
Why the shovel? Why the shovel? Vlada, why the shovel?
Vlada takes up a like a doll she finds on the floor from like crates. Okay, she takes her time to really explain what she's gonna do. So she takes like some hay from a haystack.
Oh my god!
Makes a she doll.
She walks a mile away from the inn. Exactly. Gathers hay.
It comes back. Creates a doll, like a makeshift doll, uh-huh. And then just takes the shovel and cuts the head off.
Oh,
with the shovel.
Okay, let's go.
See. Violence.
Okay.
I need a stick. Does anyone have a good, firm walking stick? Is there something left by the door of the inn that I can take?
Yes.
Okay.
A regular stick can be arranged for you.
Vlada, you come with shovel.
Absolutely. And the police officer offers to come with you. Rutger does not seem that eager to go anymore. It's like the energy went out of him, but he can be convinced. But he is like in his 70s.
Yeah, I don't know if he should come.
Yeah, she's okay. Yeah, she's gonna kind of kneel next to him, if that's okay.
Yeah.
And she's going to say, "Now, my good chap, you and I, we are in the winter of our lives, but there is still time for us to do some good before the curtain falls. Come now."
Okay. All right. And he gets up and then immediately like falls down because he stumbles. All right. On his,
we'll get you a walking stick as well.
All right. Terrible idea. And so these five people, are you okay with this too, Sydney, or do you want to do something?
Yeah. No, the more the merrier. I don't know what's going on. I don't know what we're getting into.
Vlada wants to take you to the stone circle. Mm-hmm. And she wants to, for some reason, protect you with the shovel.
Yeah,
that's,
and she, that's, she's what you, going to as they go, sort of suggest, "Now, when we arrive, I think we should all be on the same page. There shall be no jumping into hellfire without a discussion beforehand. I mean, I really think we should go to observe, and yes, we may see someone that we recognize, but it would be good to see them in their natural habitat, these witches."
"Yes, but Mary, we will protect the people."
"Yes, but not on pain of our own imminent demise from some stupid damn fool brave idea. We must be properly prepared."
"Yes."
And Vlada takes the lead and takes you towards a path that leads up to this newly discovered stone circle. And you find yourselves surrounding the stone circle. We jump ahead a little bit. It's not nighttime yet. It's around 5 p.m. in the afternoon. But however, it is in the northern hemisphere, so it's quite dark. And you get up there, and it looks like a less impressive Stonehenge. Although Stonehenge is pretty damn unimpressive, because you can't like go close to it.
She came for Europe.
Is it like the Stonehenge from Spinal Tap? It's just like a smaller version of Stonehenge.
So as they look on, she just can't help herself. She's just, the spirit moves her, and she says, "When shall we three meet again? In thunder, lightning, or in rain? When the hurly-burly is done? When the battle's lost and won? Oh, theater, it moves me."
We zoom in on Mary's eyes as she's reciting Macbeth.
Yep. Good word.
We see her on a stage having recited Shakespeare, those exact words, in front of a wonderful audience, the best kind of audience. Even the groundlings, or whatever you call them.
Even the common rabble.
They applaud, they are sending flowers, they're throwing up flowers on stage. And Mary, she realizes, much younger, realizes that she's finally made it. She's finally become the best performer that she could be, and she is at the peak of her career. But then she looks out at the audience, and in the distance, there's a figure standing. She recognized that person. He's giving her a menacing smile. And she knows. She knows what she's done. Cut to a couple of weeks later, we see Mary. Soot covering her face as she sees this theater that she performed at a couple weeks earlier burning down. Screams are coming from the inside. And she can do nothing to stop the fire. And we go back to present day Mary.
Haunt for danger.
And she finished the line. Perfect. Yeah.
You get to the stone circle. What do you want to do?
I was going to say, we keep a distance. We are not walking into the stone circle.
Should we read some Latin? Should we just... No.
Yeah, like, what's the deal? Can we do, like, an investigation on the circle?
Yep. Like I said, it looks like a less impressive Stonehenge, but it's currently empty. But the two of you...
Yeah.
Who have the sight, you feel the vibrations of something pretty magical going on in this place, but you're not necessarily sensing that it's evil or bad, just like this is a spiritual...
Would I be able to roll a vigilance check to see if I see any, like, sense of oncoming folk or any movement from another direction so that we can be prepared at the spot that we're hiding in?
Absolutely. Okay. Vlada, who's not really hiding in the bushes, is standing there and, like, trying to point towards the stone circle. Mm-hmm. And then when she notices that the two of you and the rest of you are not really interested in going in there, she's like, she doesn't understand. So she walks in there and tries to look for what you can presume O'Rourke or someone else. Mm-hmm. It's as if she's looking for someone.
I think Vanessa's immediately like, Vlada, do not walk directly inside the circle. There is some Vlada. And she's like, mm-hmm, trying to like call her back.
Here, Vlada. Here, boy.
She's doing it in a really insulting way, like trying to do an even more Eastern European accent. And she's like, come here, Vlada. Come to me.
Slower and louder. Yeah, I think what I would like to do is try and, staying outside of the circle, I want to kind of peek around the sides for symbols that we've seen in the book, like the eye or the spiral.
You see several eyes. Mm. And if you roll a vigilance,
okay,
you can deduce.
One success.
You're confident it's blood.
Oh.
Recent or?
Recent. How many successes did you get on the vigilant?
I got one.
Okay. You see that there might be tracks or something has been sort of dragged away. And you're not quite sure, but it looks like it could be also traces of blood leading down a path that was originally hidden from you.
This feels like possibly trap. What do you think, Mary?
Well, I suppose we shall have to proceed with caution, but if there is perhaps someone in danger, as you say, I do believe it will be the only way to put Mr. Rutger to rights, knowing that it is not Mary, or if it in fact is.
The police officer takes up his revolver and puts in a couple of bullets.
Might we make our way cautiously? I am old, but I have a keen eye for this sort of thing. And she wants to roll an observation to try and, like, as they move carefully and slowly and stealthily, to look out for anything that they might see that might cause them to want to stop where they are to observe.
Mm. Absolutely.
Okay.
Do you want to go ahead and go down this, follow the trail of blood?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
The police officer insists that he'll go first.
Great.
And Vlada Vlada says that she'll go second. She makes sure that she wants to be in front of you, Mary.
Yeah. Thank you.
Rutger, he tries to keep up, but he's having a harder time moving through the vegetation. But you walk for
Mr.
a while.
When Mr. Rutger goes to go through the vegetation, she sees that he's struggling. She says, why don't you stay here and keep watch to see if anyone comes back? But you must hide in the tall grass, Rutger. Mark my words, I shall kill you if you die.
God darn it, I believe that you will.
And he winks at you in the way that old people flirt, and I love it so much.
She sort of like blushes a little bit and then taps him on the shoulder and says, yes, yes, right up there. And I shall return. I shall return, she says. She's like the kind of person that jumps off conversational bridges hoping that like a punchline will happen to her.
Yeah.
While she's talking.
And as you turn, as Mary turns, Vlada is just standing there, and you didn't see her at first, so you almost knock her over, but she's so sturdy, so she's just like, here. And then she gives you a proper stick that you can actually impale someone with. So she's like, use, don't think. And then she starts walking, and then she nods towards sister Vanessa.
She takes on one of those like poses that it starts at the beginning of like a rapier fight, and she says, "I do bite my thumb at you, sir."
And amazing. You watch sister Vanessa like taking everything in, like the Vlada clearly has an idea of what's going on and like is handing out improvised weapons, and Sister Vanessa sort of like holds her hands together in like the nun with the big sleeves that like nuns have, and she pulls a dagger from her sleeve, and it's just like a small, almost like an envelope opener, like a very small dagger, but clearly had it somewhere like a strap in her arm, and she pulls it and just kind holds it at her side.
So cool.
That's sick. And I will say that one thing that I didn't love about the character creation process for the entertainer from Mythic Britain is they get costumes, makeup, and scripts. That's all they get. They don't get anything that could even maybe help them if they got cornered by something.
I love it so much.
But Anne, Ellie gave us the moment on the ship to retcon buying a gun, so...
And I tried to buy a fucking rapier in a cane and was told, nah!
No.
In no uncertain terms.
I said, that's fair. I
so I'm just respecting that, and I really like my stick. Thank you for my stick.
I said you would have the equipment you would have, is what I'm saying. But if you want a rapier, no, you won't. You're not gonna get it right
now. No, I have my cool pointed stick, and it's from Vlada, my new best friend. I'm into it.
Does Vlada see that you're taking out the letter knife?
I don't know. I don't do it stealth. She doesn't do it stealthily. She just does it very like methodically. So that's up to you, I guess. If Vlada sees it, she's not trying to hide it.
Yeah, Vlada was going to give you also like an improvised weapon, sees that you got that knife, nods approvingly, and it's like, I knew that I could trust my own people.
Yeah, I think Vanessa also gives a nod, and she's, in her mind, she's like, I do not know where Vlada is from, perhaps we are at war, but perhaps we are breastmates, I do not know. Well, okay.
It's that I like this like mythical Europe of like we're now best friends with the Faroe Islands. I don't even know like if they even had
what are
like
we doing here?
Like I have no idea if like a huge Titanic ship went to the Faroe Islands in the 19th century. I don't think so. Like why would they? But it's funny to me that like all this is happening.
I love the idea that they could have called the society that Astrid and Henrik set up, but they were like, no, get London on line one. Exactly. The red phone.
I love it so much. I love what we're creating.
This is a job for Rose House. We'll send a Rose.
All right, so back into the danger zone. You're following this path. You're following this trail. Eventually, you get to a cave. And it's getting really dark now. Sergeant Person takes out a torch. And he hands over another torch to Vlada so you can at least see exactly what's going on outside of this cave. There's no one there, as far as you know. But there's something standing right outside of it. A pole of some kind. You want to get closer and see more details?
Can we not see with the lantern?
I mean, you're standing maybe like 5-6 meters away that, like, you're not quite sure, but it looks like something is dripping from it.
Oh boy.
This pole.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. I'm gonna go carefully take a look with the lantern.
So what you see are about 15 human eyes stacked on top of each other on this pole, and they're all facing the cave. Two of them looks like they've recently been ripped out.